Well, good afternoon. I'm going to answer the question this morning, do stink bugs in corn impact cotton? And I have some of the answers to this question, and some of them I don't have, but we have a beginning. First of all, Eustis Service and Nozera viridula do feed and develop on corn. Females of both these species will oviposit on the leaves of corn, and the resulting nymphs will feed on corn leaves until they get to be older nymphs, and they'll move into small ears and start feeding there. The adults will feed either on the stalks or on corn. In Georgia, many times we have corn fields that are closely associated with cotton fields. And when we have an association like this, I'm calling this a corn-cotton farmscape. We're going to look at some raster maps this morning of stink bug populations in these corn-cotton farmscapes. And I want to walk through the first one so you can have an idea of, you know, how these are set up. The top of the raster map is going to be a cornfield, and the lower part of the raster map is going to be cotton field, and where you have the line kind of in the middle, that is the interface or the common boundary of the corn and cotton fields. As we look at stink bug distribution in this farmscape, over time we're also going to be looking at developmental stages of the corn and cotton. This is, as you can see, week two in a corn-cotton farmscape, and we have stink bug eggs, nymphs, and adults only in corn. And the corn at this time is silking, and we're beginning to see some squares in the cotton. By week three, we have ears on the corn and some squares in cotton. Again, there are only stink bugs in the corn, and we have eggs, nymphs, and adults that are present in the corn. By week four, we have corn ears and cotton squares, and beginning to see adults in the cotton for the first time, but at a very low level. By week five, we see some very few stink bug nymphs in the cotton, and they're at very, very low level. The presence of these stink bug nymphs in the cotton indicates that adults in the corn oviposited on this cotton the previous week. By week six, we still have corn that's earing, and we're beginning to see flowers in the cotton. But stink bug eggs, nymphs, and adults are only present in corn. By week seven, we're seeing some adults in cotton, but at a very low level. By week eight, the corn is maturing, and the only stink bugs that we're seeing in the corn-cotton farmscape in the corn are along that interface of the two crops. And we're also seeing a movement of nymphs and adults in the cotton along this interface. By week nine, we have small bolls that are present on the cotton, and we're seeing stink bug eggs, nymphs, and adults in this cotton. Only nymphs are left in the corn at this time, and they're only on the interface of the farmscape. The adults have already moved in to cotton. By week 10, we only have stink bugs present in cotton, and we have cotton bolls, and the nymphs and adults are feeding on these bolls in cotton. The corn is beginning to dry out. Also in Georgia, we have cornfields that are many times associated with peanut fields that are closely associated with cotton fields. And we have this kind of association. I'm calling this a corn-peanut-cotton farmscape. So we're going to look at raster maps to show the stink bug distribution of these stink bugs in a corn, peanut, cotton farmscape. Again, we're going to look at the development of the different crops over time and the distribution of the stink bugs over time. This particular raster map is divided up into four quadrants. In the top left quadrant is the corn. At the top right quadrant, there is no crop there. The bottom left quadrant is peanuts, and the bottom right quadrant is cotton. And this is week four. On week four, the corn is silking, the peanuts are very small, and cotton has just been planted. So on this week, we're finding stink bugs only in corn, and we're finding eggs, nymphs, and adults in this corn. By week five, we still only have stink bugs in corn. And again, on week six, we have stink bugs in corn. On week seven, we have stink bugs again in the corn. We have eggs, nymphs, and adults there. And for the first time, we're seeing adults present in peanuts at the interface of the corn-peanut farmscape. Cotton is vegetative, and there are no stink bugs in there. On week eight, though, we have ears on the corn, the peanuts are developing, and cotton is in a vegetative state. We have stink bugs distributed throughout the corn and the peanuts, and nymphs and adults are present in both of these crops. Again, on week nine, it's very similar. We have stink bug adults and nymphs and corn and peanuts. On week 10, the corn is beginning to mature and dry out, and they're mainly present along the interface of the corn-peanut farmscape. And we're seeing eggs, nymphs, and adults in the corn, and nymphs and adults in peanuts. Cotton is beginning to square. So on week 11, the corn is mature, and there are still some nymphs, a few, and adults in this corn, but most of the stink bugs, both nymphs and adults, are present in peanuts. Cotton is squaring, but there are no stink bugs in the cotton at this time. On week 12, the corn was harvested. We no longer have any stink bugs in corn. Most of the stink bugs are present in peanuts, and we're finding eggs, nymphs, and adults. The cotton, we're beginning to see flowers on the cotton, and there are a few adults in cotton at this time, and these were probably dispersed from corn. By week 13, of course, there are no stink bugs in corn. There are some nymphs and adults in peanuts, and we're seeing stink bug adults in cotton for the first time, mostly along the interface of the peanut-cotton farmscape and also along one side of the cotton. By week 14, there are small bolls on the cotton, and we're seeing more adults in the cotton. Stink bug nymphs and adults are still present in peanuts. By week 15, the cotton bolls are maturing. We're seeing stink bug nymphs and adults in peanuts, and there's a large number of stink bug adults at the interface of the peanut cotton farmscape in cotton. By week 16, many of the stink bugs have moved into cotton, but some are still left in peanuts. And we're seeing eggs, nymphs, and adults in the cotton feeding on cotton bolls. By week 17, most of the stink bugs have moved into cotton. Both nymphs and adults move from peanuts into cotton, and we have shown this using marking techniques. So we do know that they definitely do move, and they move from peanuts into cotton and feed on cotton bolls. By week 18, you can see that most of the adults are at the interface of the peanut cotton field, and they're mainly, again, feeding on cotton bolls. By week 19, there are a few stink bugs in peanuts. Mostly stink bugs are present in cotton. Week 20 is very similar. cotton is beginning to open, cotton bolls are beginning to open. By week 21, there are no longer any stink bugs in peanuts. All of the stink bugs are in cotton and bolls are beginning to open. By week 22, all the stink bugs are in cotton and bolls are still opening. At three-quarter Lent, we've got stink bug nymphs and adults in cotton. So there you have it. That's what's happening in those in that particular farmscape. So the question is, do stink bugs in corn impact cotton? And I say yes, both directly and indirectly. For in corn-cotton farmscapes, adults in corn can oviposit on cotton during corn development. They will move from corn into cotton to lay eggs. I've actually observed that process. Adults that develop in corn can disperse from this crop as it begins to dry out, and they move into cotton. In corn, peanut, cotton farmscapes, the adults will oviposit in corn, and then they'll move into peanuts where the stink bug nymphs will develop, and then these nymphs and adults that developed in peanuts will disperse into cotton. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. No. Yes, Michael.
I have two quick questions. Number one, what were the planting dates for each of the crops? And number two, what was the sample unit that was used in each of those crops?
Right now, Michael, I can't remember the planting dates for those, but I can get that to you. The sampling in cotton was 6 foot a row, whole plant sampling 6 foot a row. Same thing for corn and peanuts. We did sweep samples 18 foot a row. Yes, sir.
Yeah. What technique did you use for extrapolation or interpolation of your sample data? You know, where you have the point, the high density points of the nymphs, adults, and eggs. How did you? What type of distribution did you use to interpolate between your sample collections?
I had to talk to, can I talk to you about that after the talk? I use a GIS mapping system to help me work that out. Yes, sir. That's a good question, and that's one of the things that I don't really know for sure. But my guess is that if there's corn there, you would have a higher quantity of stink bugs present in cotton, particularly along that interface. That's kind of what my experience is. I don't right now have the data analyzed to say that for sure. Yes, sir. Sure.
Were these mostly green or brown stink bugs, and does it matter? Or southern greens or browns, and does it matter?
They were both, and they do the same. Their dispersal behavior is very similar, at least in Georgia, where I'm at, southwest Georgia. Because we do look at both species, along with Acrosternum, but Acrosternum is very rare in both corn and peanuts. I don't know where they're coming from. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.